It's my privilege now to introduce to you Julia Chanteray. She's just done a seminar here, so some of you will have known something of her already. But Julia leads the Brighton Chamber of Commerce. She's the president of the Brighton Hove Chamber of Commerce. And it's absolutely superb to have her come and speak to us. I think what's significant for me is that we begin to develop links between us as a faith group, and many of us will be connected to this church, and the city. And I know that Joel early on touched on the fact that one of our key values as a church is that we learn how to do two things. One is to affirm and support the business person that's connected to this church, and to also help them understand what it means to serve the city, to bless the city. How can we run our businesses in such a way that does the city good, and in that we find that it does us good as well? So it's great to be able to introduce Julia to you. Why don't we applaud Julia as she comes, and we'll welcome her.
Okay, thank you, Matt. So those of you who are in my group just before, we've been talking about values and ethics. So I'm going to talk about some completely different stuff. So Matt asked me to come here today to talk about the realities of doing business in Brighton and Hove. That's what I'm going to talk to you about. Warts, bad things, good things. Everything's going to be there. Am I supposed to point this at something? Oh, I've got it the wrong way around. I'm going backwards. Okay, now I've worked that one out. Okay, so I'll tell you a little bit about myself and why I know some stuff about doing business in Brighton and Hove. So I'm Julia Chanteray. I run a business consultancy in the city, have done for the past 11 years since I moved here, and it's called The Joy of Business. And my role is to help people with small businesses, help them to grow into bigger businesses, and help them to make money and to have fun, hence The Joy of Business. I've got a dozen people at any particular time that I'm working with, helping them to make money and have fun. So I've seen literally hundreds of businesses in Brighton and Hove. So I get a good idea of what's the gossip, what's going on, what are the issues that people face. I'm also the president of the Brighton and Hove Chamber of Commerce, which is a membership organisation for all the businesses in the city. And we bring together people who do business in the city, from the smallest little business to the biggest businesses in the city. We organise networking events. We have 5 or 6 networking events each year. Each month. And you'll often see us on Fridays at Carluccio's having breakfast. It's a very nice breakfast. You should come just for the breakfast. And we also represent the business community in the city. So when there's a fight that you might have heard about parking charges and how that's supposedly killing businesses in the city, that's a different talk. I'll talk about that a different time. I'm the one that gets the call from the council to see what's really going on and what businesses really think. I'm just about to go to a talk with the police about those charming people who were on the March for England recently, which meant that nobody went into the city centre and spent any money on a Sunday, and what we can do about other demonstrations and other people who come here with their nonsense. Right, that's got me fired up. Let's talk about business. Okay, what I've done is looked at business in Brighton and Hove according to my SWOT analysis. Who's used SWOT analysis? I'm sure lots of you have. So SWOT analysis is a great strategic tool for looking at all sorts of business situations, life situations, and we look at the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities, and the threats. And I've looked at the city and business in the city according to my SWOT analysis. So I'm going to look at strengths. This guy's going to help me because he's really strong. So the strengths of the city are that we've got a massive small business sector, much higher than the national average. 82% of businesses, and that's registered companies in Brighton, are less than 5 employees. So That gives us a very strong small business sector. How many people in the audience today run a business and they've got... put your hands up if you run a business. I'm going to be Graham Norton. Keep your hands up if it has less than 5 employees. Yeah. So that would bear it out. That's probably about 82%. Plus, we've got a big freelancer community who probably aren't counted in those figures. The real figure's probably higher. We have what's called compact geography. You don't have to go for miles to go from here over to Hove. It's not that far. And most of the time, you can get across the city in a reasonable amount of time. Perhaps not at rush hour on the number 49 bus, but as happened to me the other day. But it's not a big city, but it does have quite a lot of people. There are 250,000 people who live here. So there's a reasonable base of people to sell stuff to. We've got a great skill base. We've got a massive number of graduates in the city. 4 out of 10 people in the city of working age have a degree, which is well above the national average. So there are a lot of very qualified people in the city, probably because 10% of the city's population at any one time is students, who are also a captive market because they spend money. So there's some markets there, although there are some controversies about students, and should we actually be raising that number to 37,000 students? And from an employer's point of view, Brighton and Hove has very low wage levels. So if you want to employ people, you can get good, qualified people for not very much money. A friend of mine recently moved back to Brighton from New York, which I thought would be a really cool place to live, but apparently 5 years was enough, and took a 55% pay drop to come back to Brighton. So she's still all right, because she was on quite a lot of money in America, so all right. But that was... There's a premium for living in a nice place. So one of our strengths is that it's a good place to live here. Who likes living in Brighton and Hove? Yeah. It's better than Salford, isn't it? Crawley. Anyone from Crawley I've just offended? Oh, God. Okay. So the strengths, strong small business sector, compact geography, high skill base. Oh, I didn't mention this one. 72% of jobs are in the private sector. If you go to the north of England, a lot of jobs are in the public sector, and that means that they're quite vulnerable in recession because all the public sector jobs are being cut. We've got quite a high number of private sector jobs, which is rising faster than the national average. Lots of people with degrees, lots of cheap people. Okay, weaknesses. Low wage levels. It's a weakness. We've just done a thing at the Chamber of Commerce with the council investigating setting up a living wage for Brighton. And we did some work and looked at what was a living wage, which is the minimum that you can pay somebody per hour and they can actually have any sort of decent living standards. And there's quite a lot of methodology into this, what you need to buy, what rent levels are, what childcare costs. And that came out that the minimum that you should be paying people is £7.20 an hour. Now, that isn't actually very high. I don't think I've paid anyone £7.20 an hour since 1998 when I had a student placement and he was on 12 grand for 3 months before we felt guilty and put his wage levels up. So £7.20 an hour is full-time equivalent 14 grand. However, 18% of people in Brighton are getting less than the living wage. So we're campaigning to bring out the living wage. It's not mandatory. If you can't afford it, you don't have to pay it. But do work towards paying people a living wage, because if you pay less than that, they're probably going to go and get another job just to make ends meet. They're going to be miserable. They aren't going to be very productive members of your workforce. Okay. There's an argument that the students in the city push people who come to the city just in the normal course of things or grow up here and push them out of the lower skilled jobs. It's called the barista effect, where if you go and get a coffee in a coffee bar in Brighton, which lots of us do, then the person making your coffee, the barista, has probably got an MA, a PhD. Now, barista, making nice coffee is a skill, but you probably don't need to do 10 years of university education to do it. You just need to be taught well and practice it. And that's a real issue in Brighton. So you see that the strengths and weaknesses are very connected. Brighton has high housing costs. I'm sure I don't have to tell you about how much rent and mortgages are in the city. It's very high. And low wages. And that means that people have very low disposable income. You're not getting a lot of money in. And a whole chunk of it is going out for your mortgage or for your rent. So you've not got a lot left to spend on everything else. That means that if you're selling as a business, if you're selling to consumers in Brighton, that's difficult because there aren't rich people. When I first moved to Brighton 11 years ago, I thought, oh, I'm going to the southeast. Streets are paved with gold, loads of money down there. Didn't do my research. Found out quite quickly that there is not a lot of money in Brighton. I had a very different perception before I moved here. And I also worked out that I'd come from Edinburgh, which is the second richest city in the UK. So I didn't work that one out very well at all. One of the differences in Brighton as well is also that there's quite a slow pace of doing business here. Anyone who does business in Brighton and does business in London, there's quite a different culture in terms of just how fast people walk, how fast people do things. In Brighton, we like to do things a little bit slower and we like to spend some time sitting on the beach maybe or doing other things, which is good because it gives us a high quality life, makes Brighton a cool place to live, but sometimes we need to do things a little bit faster. And there's a lack of commercial space, office space in Brighton. That's one of our key weaknesses. James was talking about the difficulty that you'd had in Southwick finding commercial space, and that's a problem across the whole city. It's difficult there. Okay? So those are some of the weaknesses of the city. Opportunities. Can we score some goals? Okay. The opportunities are our qualified workforce. Loads of students want to stay on in Brighton, some really good people. Some of the work that we're doing at the Chamber at the moment is trying to make it easier for businesses to take on an intern, whether that's paid or unpaid, and get those students working in businesses in the city, make it easier to do that. So go and get an intern. They're great. They're cheap. They'll learn things. They'll develop. Get some of those great people in there, some real opportunities in that workforce. We have opportunities because of our geography, because we are close to London. 6 million people, loads of money, loads of big companies. It takes 49 minutes to get there. Interestingly, the council just put out a promotional video about Brighton, saying that it takes 60 minutes to get to London. So I don't know how often they get the train, but it takes 49 minutes if you get a good train and if there isn't some disaster there. So that's one of our opportunities. We've got this massive market on our doorstep. You can trade internationally because we're very close to Gatwick, and we've got the whole of the coastal strip, Worthing, Eastbourne, Hastings, all of those things along the coast. There are big markets for you to sell stuff into. And we have a great supply chain. In Brighton, we've got some real sector strengths in digital, more and more in green technology and green businesses who are getting together, partly because we're doing stuff with the Green Group at the Chamber. We've got strengths in the education sector, and increasingly, and I really want to push this as an area for the city because there's lots of money in it, medical technology. Great area to get into if you can pronounce all those funny names and you're very clever. But lots of money in that sector. So some real opportunities for the city. 27 minutes to Gatwick. I googled that last night. What are our threats? Well, we don't have any tigers or lions. Lionesses, she is. But the threats for us are the same threats, I think, that the whole of the UK and probably the whole of the world face. We've got a real problem. Technically, we're back in recession as a country. We are very vulnerable to the world economy. who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? So there's a flat economy, which makes it more difficult to make money, and there's a climate of uncertainty. Out of those two, I'd say that the climate of uncertainty is the more important factor, because as businesses, we need to know what's going to happen tomorrow, and the crystal ball that is going to be the same as today doesn't work anymore. Anything could happen. And we've seen all sorts of surprising things happen in the last 3 years. And that's not good for us as human beings. Us cavemen don't like uncertainty. We like to know what's going to happen. Is the sun going to come up tomorrow? We need to know what's going on out there, and it's more difficult to do that at the moment. And it makes people not spend money, whether that's consumers or businesses. With consumers, suddenly it becomes bad to spend money. It's bad to stick it on the credit card. That was a real change 3 years ago. Before then, we had a fairly profligate spending culture. And if you're selling into bigger companies, it takes forever to get a decision nowadays. So that makes it more difficult to make money. Specifically in Brighton and Hove, we've been quite resilient to the effects of the recession. It's not been as bad here as it has in a lot of other places, partly because we've got a strong knowledge sector in those digital, green, education, med tech sectors. Those sectors will make money throughout a recession. I've got some clients who you wouldn't think anything bad had happened to the economy in the last 3 years because their growth curve is just going whoosh. That's not the case for everybody, but it shows that there are opportunities for all of us. So, some threats there. The other threat that I wanted to look at, I couldn't decide whether to say this was a threat or an opportunity, is about the brand of the city. And by brand, I mean how we all perceive the city and how people outside of Brighton perceive the city. And there's no clear brand, which, of course, you'll all know from a business point of view, is not a good idea. If I don't know what your pies are and that they're quality pies and that they're tasty and they're fun and they've got different ingredients, I'm not going to know that they're any different to any other pies. And so I'm going to go, how much for a pie? I'm not paying that. It's the same as every other pie. So you talked about super premium brands. If we don't know what the brand of Brighton is, it's very difficult to market it to companies who want to come here, and it's very difficult for us to know and to take pride in the city. So the brand is kind of mixed up, and I think this is something that we really need to work on as a business community here. The brand is it about hen nights and stag nights and having fun and getting drunk, and there are issues for the city, even though that brings a lot of money into the city. It causes problems for the city as well. If you want to venture down West Street, you've got the students and the hen nights on a Saturday night. It ain't pretty. it's really not. Or are we a cultural city? We're in May, we're into the Fringe and the festival, some fantastic things that are going on. How does that fit alongside the heavy drinking hen night culture? There's more money, and you'll notice that that's a theme with me, how do you make money out of everything? There's more money in the cultural activities because the people who come to Brighton to spend money on those cultural activities are more likely to spend more money. And they don't go and get drunk and throw up on the pavements. Not as much, anyway, outside the opera. So we also have a culture of not being serious. Some of the companies that I've spoken to who do business in London from a base in Brighton, and we have a lunch at the Chamber, which is specifically for businesses that do business outside the city. It's called Business Beyond the City, funnily enough. And those businesses say that it's difficult to be taken seriously in London and other locations when they know that you're from Brighton. Sometimes that can be good because they think that you're more creative, you're more funky, you're not going to be wearing a suit, although I quite like wearing a suit because it's a nice suit. But sometimes it means that it's more difficult to be taken seriously within outside of the city. So that's something that we all really need to work on, is what are we trying to create here? Obviously, it's going to be diverse, just the same as there's a very diverse group of businesses here today. But let's try and get something together there. So that's Brighton and Hove. I thought that was a really cool photo. One of the last things that I'd like to say is that one of the things that we're doing, the main thing that we're doing at the Chamber is trying to improve the city's economy, trying to ensure that all the businesses in Brighton thrive and grow, make money, have fun. There's a fit between what I do for my own business and what I do at the Chamber. And we're also creating a community of business owners and business people. So there are 900 people who are signed up as members of the Chamber. We're growing fast. And one of the things that I was really struck by from this event and from the other networking event that I came along to here is that you guys have really got a fantastic community, and that you are all there supporting one another, talking about interesting things, challenging one another. There's a real sense of it in the room, and I compliment you on that. And it would be great if you were to join forces with us, and because you can be in more than one community at a time, your businesses and you're part of the church here. And I would urge you, come and check out what's happening at the Chambers community and see how you can be part of the economy of the city and develop things, and how you can contribute to that. But also, over the last 10, 11 years since I've been a member of the Chamber of Commerce, I've probably spent, £2,500 on my membership fee, going to events, having nice lunches, talking to people. I've spent, probably half of that just on breakfast. That's over 10 years. It's not a huge amount of money. But in terms of the business that I've done there, I've probably made six figures, 100 grand, 120 grand, and got that back. So if you want to do business in Brighton and Hove, come and get serious with the Chamber. Thank you all very much.